Olga and I, Capital Link, we are absolutely privileged that we have the opportunity to recognize Mr. Thanasis Martinos. Mr. Martinos, in reality, needs no introduction. Everybody knows him. But I'd like to say we are recognizing him not just because he is a great and very successful businessman, which he is, but we recognize him because he, with his insight and his involvement with the industry, he has had a very positive contribution to the development of Greek shipping, to the name and prestige of Greek shipping globally, and by extension to the global shipping industry. And definitely also for his multifaceted support and activities in Greece. As we were discussing with the wife of Mr. George Prokopiou, every stone that you pick up, you find Thanasis Martinos, and I would say also George Prokopiou. Lipon, and I have to say that part of his greatness is his humility. He's a very significant businessman, extremely well known, extremely well respected, but very approachable. So, you know, in my book, being humble is part of being great.
Exactly.
And anyway, thank you for allowing us. I have to tell you that I have been going after Mr. Martinos for a number of years, trying to convince him to accept this award. I used every possible means, including Mr. Prokopiou. And, you know, but I will remind you of what Churchill said. Failure is the ability to go from failure, success is the ability to go from failure to failure without loss of enthusiasm. And I never lost enthusiasm going after Mr. Martinos. So finally we got him. Anyway, we will start with a brief video that we have from Ainaftes describing his life.
Η μητέρα μου ήταν αυτή που έπεισε τον πατέρα μου να επενδύσει χρήματα στην ναυτιλία. Ο πατέρας μου είχε ήταν έμπορος και είχε χρήματα και ξεκινήσαμε με τρία πλοία χωρίς δάνειο και σε αυτό τον έπεισε η μητέρα μου, που είχε μεγάλη αγάπη για τη θάλασσα, είχε ας πούμε μανία και είμαστε τυχεροί δηλαδή που, γιατί εκτός από την αγάπη για την θάλασσα μας ενέπνευσε και ένα σωρό άλλα αγάπη για τη φύση. Το πρώτο πλοίο αγοράστηκε με την παρότρινση της μητέρας μου. Δεν ήταν, ήταν ένα πλοίο που ήταν 100.000 λίρες τότε, δεν ήταν πολύ ακριβό πλοίο. Από το χρόνο που αγόρασαν οι γονείς μου το πρώτο πλοίο το Θανάσης, που ήταν το 1964, σε μια ηλικία 15 ετών, εισχολούμην ασφαλώς μέρος του χρόνου μου με την ναυτιλία, παράλληλα με τις σπουδές μου στο γυμνάσιο τότε. Και κυρίως κράταγα το ταμείο του πλοίου, έκανα επισκέψεις σε επισκευές και γενικά είχα ενδιαφέρον για την ναυτιλία και σαν χόμπι, ας πούμε, σαν αντικείμενο. Θυμάμαι πολλές φορές και σκασιαρχείο από το σχολείο και πήγαινα στο Πέραμα και έβλεπα εκεί τα διάφορους τύπους πλοίων που επισκευαζόντουσαν στην επασκευαστική βάση Περάματος, κυρίως τις πρίμες τους βέβαια, ήταν πρημοδοτημένα τα πλοία. Όταν τελείωσα το σχολείο το 18 και πήγα στο Λονδίνο, ασχολήθηκα με την ναυτιλία σε πλήρη, ήταν πλήρης απασχόλησης. Το πλοίο σου δίνει ένα αίσθημα ελευθερίας. Συνδυάζουν τα πλοία πολλές έννοιες. Την εμπορική δραστηριότητα, το αίσθημα της περιπέτειας, το αίσθημα της ελευθερίας, το ότι η δουλειά μας δεν περιορίζεται από... δεν υπόκειται σε μεγάλες γραφειοκρατίες ή σε άλλους περιορισμούς. Το αίσθημα του ανταγωνισμού και είναι και η παράδοσή μας, είναι στο DNA μας η ναυτιλία. Είμαι ευχαριστημένος από το επάγγελμά μου γιατί είναι ένας τρόπος ζωής. Είμαι σε αυτή τη δουλειά 50 χρόνια. Έχω και άλλα έτσι ενδιαφέροντα, αλλά το κύριο ενδιαφέρον είναι η ναυτιλία. Δηλαδή δεν μπορούσα να φανταστώ τον εαυτό μου να μπαίνω το πρωί στο γραφείο και να παρακολουθώ ποια πλοία βρεθήκανε, ποια είναι ανάβλωτα. Είμαι λίγα σαν το βοσκό με το κοπάδι του. Δηλαδή έρχομαι εδώ να δω τι κάνουν τα πρόβατα, πού βρίσκονται και πώς θα τα διαχειριστούμε. Και η κάθε μέρα είναι διαφορετική από την προηγούμενη. Και αυτό είναι ένα, θα έλεγα, είναι ευλογία για μας που ασχολούμαι με αυτή τη δουλειά. Δηλαδή δεν είναι μια δουλειά βαρετή, ούτε παράγουμε τόσα τόπια ύφασμα για να το πουλήσουμε. Ξέρετε, ασχολούμαι με τους πελάτες. Δηλαδή κάθε μέρα είναι μια περιπέτεια. Είναι σημαντικό κανένα να έχει πίστη, ας πούμε. Και μου λέγει ο πατέρας μου, γιατί ο πατέρας μου και ο δάσκαλός μας ήταν ότι στη ζωή δεν αρκεί να είσαι έξυπνος, ας πούμε. Οπωσδήποτε καλό είναι να είσαι έξυπνος, αλλά η ζωή είναι να είσαι εργατικός. Είναι το ένα θέμα. Και θα προσέχουμε να είσαι και έτοιμος. Δεύτερον, να ενδιαφέρεις και τους άλλους. Να έχεις μια κοινωνική, να έχεις το αίσθημα της κοινωνικής αλληλεγγύης. Γιατί δεν είμαστε μόνοι μας.
Να παρακαλέσουμε τώρα τον κύριο Γιώργο Φουστάνο να έρθει στο βήμα.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is my honor and pleasure to share with you my thoughts about a unique personality, Mr. Thanasis Martinos. I met Thanasis 43 years ago, when I was first elected a board member of the Union of Greek Shipowners. Although younger than me, Thanasis had already been serving the UGS board alongside renowned shipping personalities for 6 years, elected at the age of 26. This rare distinction for a person of his age purely reflected at the time our shipping community's admiration for the exceptional performance of the group he led. Thanasis' family has no shipping roots. His father, Ioannis, was a well-known antique dealer in Athens. His mother, Athena, was daughter of a distinguished lawyer in Athens. In 1964, when Thanasis was only 14, his uncles, Meletis and Kleovoulos Methenitis, acquired the ship, soon followed by their sister, Athena, who made her entry in shipping with a bold vision to establish a large shipping enterprise, not for herself, but for her 3 sons, whom she envisions to see becoming prominent shipowners. Consequently, on establishing Thena Maris in 1970, she opted to remain behind the scenes and entrusted her elder son, the 20-year-old Thanasis, to take the helm. Her other 2 sons, Dinos and Andreas, who later contributed significantly to the success of the family enterprise, had not even finished school at the time. Thanasis modestly maintains that he's not a self-made entrepreneur, stating that his father provided the funds for the acquisition of the family's first 2 ships. However, in my view as a historian, he is definitely one of the best examples of a self-made entrepreneur. He has worked hard to achieve this. From the age of 15, still a high school student, he spent most of his free time visiting almost daily his uncle's office in Piraeus in order to familiarize with shipping operation. He later moved to London and followed a course in economics, while training in a shipping office run by Greeks, representing the first Martinos family ships, before returning home to assume command of Thena Maris. The evolution of Thena Maris was truly amazing. The company grew throughout the 70s to reach a fleet of about 40 ships when the devastating crisis of the early 80s started plaguing the international shipping community, forcing many traditional enterprises out of business. By the end of this catastrophic decade, Thena Maris was not only among the survivors, but had increased its fleet to over 50 ships. From that point on, Thanasis embarked on a new chapter. His amicable separation with his brothers marked the establishment of his own company, Eastern Mediterranean, which has since evolved into a robust group operating over 80 high-quality ships of all types. Despite achieving enormous success in business, Thanasis' life had serious setbacks as he faced the loss of dear family members, most recently the one of his mother, the unforgettable to all of us, Nuno Martinus. Beyond inspiring him to pursue a career as a ship owner, her outlook on life instilled in him a genuine respect for women. At this point, I must pay tribute to a very special lady who has accompanied for over half a century Thanasis' life journey in the most creative and inspiring manner. His beloved wife, Marina. Together, they weathered every storm. Most importantly, they managed to turn their personal grief to the welfare of the many. Always maintaining a low and modest profile, they committed themselves in splendid acts that have over the past 30 years placed them among our country's greatest philanthropists and benefactors. Very few people indeed can match the generosity of Thanasis and Marina Martinus. Their constant endeavors to provide relief to those in need, to support the national defense and the country's health system, to promote education, religion, culture, and heritage, strengthen all important pillars for the existence of our nation. Finally, as a dedicated historian, I feel compelled to express my admiration and gratitude to Thanasis for his genuine interest in promoting history, especially maritime history. He is indeed one of the very few people who truly appreciate the catalytic role of the sea and the shipping industry in our lives. I remember that when we met at the funeral of his uncle Cleovulos Methenides, he asked me to write a book about the Methenides family. They deserve to be remembered, he said. After all, we started our journey in shipping, following their steps. Mr. Martinus, my friend Thanasis, we are all very proud of you. Thank you very much.
And now I would like to ask Mr. Prokopiou to come to the podium, please.
What can one say about Thanasis Martinus? Anyone in need, anywhere in Greece, not knocks on his door and find response. He has a particular sensitivity to churches, ecclesiastic institutions, sacred artifacts, no matter what they are, to be a simple epitaphios or a iconostasi, or the reconstruction of St. George in Alexandria, or St. Dimitrios in Constantinople on the Princess Island, and even, of course, on Mount Athos. His ecclesiastic contributions and hospital renovation activity are only part of the philanthropic work of Thanasis and Marina, but I will talk more about Thanasis as a friend. We have known each other since childhood, because our homes were nearby. There were three boys and one girl, and we are the same. In winter, we are the only ones staying in Glyfada, in the seafront. Everyone else was living. This was a vacation area. Mrs. Athena Martinos was the inspiration behind all our activities, whether at sea, on land, hunting, swimming, excursions, fishing. Not only did she encourage us, but in the beginning, she was also our teacher in all these activities. Thanasis got into the struggles of life from young age. And by struggles, I mean his passion. He didn't do out of necessity or family pressure. He simply loved the sea. After trying to set up an office for his first ship, the SS Thanasis, a small 10,000-tonner vessel, at that time not so small, but SS means steamship, triple expansion engine. He ended up managing it from his bedroom in Glyfada. He was around 17 years old. I remember one day he met me at the Glyfada pier, where the whole group used to gather. I had gone there by my Lightning, it is a type of sailing vessel, and he said to me, "Why don't you invest in shipping? You have money." I replied, "Thanasis, I plan to do too, but I want to finish my studies at the Polytechnic and complete my military service first." "You don't need to," he said. "I haven't finished my studies or military service, and I've already started." I can say that these words motivated me a lot, but I stuck to my original plan. Our friendship continued uninterrupted, even after we both got married and had our three daughters. We spent Christmas, Easter, and summers together, going on vacations, where we engaged in activities like swimming, spear fishing, and spending time with our kids. We also discussed business and future plans. There were other friends like Vafias, Tavliris, Nikos. I think they're here. I remember once at Christmas, Mrs. Nounou suggested we go to Evros up the north because she had supposedly received a call saying that an unusually large number of birds, of ducks, had arrived. I doubt the call was real, but she described it so vividly, saying the ducks were landing right on the barrels of hunters' guns, so we had to go. When we arrived, exhausted, a local took us into his home to rest and showed us around. At some point, he showed us a picture on the wall. Thanasis asked, "Who shot that wild boar?" The man replied, "That is not a wild boar. That is my daughter." We still laugh about to this day about it. There were also tough times in shipping. I remember Mrs. Nounou advising me, "Wear an old tattered coat, something worn out, and go to negotiate." I know someone that did that successfully. I mean with the bank. There were life lessons, and the entire shipping industry owes a lot to the Martinos family, which has produced many shipowners. I can say that I, too, started because of Thanasis' encouragement. Though I love the sea, I might have started later if not for him. We have so many memories, both serious and funny. Whenever Thanasis and I see each other, we burst with uncontrollable laughter, as we like being school kids. I remember we were at Mount Athos during his highly solemn ceremony, where he was being honored, and yet we couldn't stop laughing. The same things happened at Maximus Mansion when the then Prime Minister called us to consult with the entire Economic Council. I was told to bring a lawyer as well, so I suggested Yorgos Stefanakis. However, the staff of Maximus didn't know which Stefanakis, since they were two at that time, so they brought his cousin as well. We tried hard not to laugh during the meeting. But our amusement quickly faded when two women, who were known for opposing any shift away from the leftist economic policies, kept saying no to every suggestion. Instead of covering the full 15 points agenda, we got to point 4 before the endless objections shut down the discussion. It was a really memorable session. Thanasi, we still remember this and we talk. There are too many stories to count. The Easter lamps, the excess during our hunting trips, everything was always larger than life. There was often a blurred line between reality and exaggeration, but that mindset also encouraged us to think with anything is possible attitude. Little boy, have some more questions. He has a very strong work ethic. Every weekend that we'd go on excursions, and although we had planned to stay until Monday, Thanasis would always leave on Saturday afternoon, no matter where we are. I would say, Thanasis, didn't we agree to stay until Monday morning? And he would reply, I changed my mind. I need to stop by the office, rushing back at full speed, no matter what the weather is. Marina? Another thing about him is that if there is a single dove or quail anywhere on Rina or St. George, he'll find it, shoot it, and then spend hours searching for it, refusing to give up. He's so determined that even the hunting dog gives up. This award is just one of many that he have been given to Thanasis, and he deserves countless more. But if he ever speaks publicly, he will talk about everyone except himself. You will never hear him praise his own contribution. He has been through many very difficult times, like over all of us, but his faith in what he does always carries him through. Now, either your nieces, nephews from your siblings have its own companies and are thriving. I think today a large percentage of Greek shipping industry is Martinos. Thanasi, you started in 1964, so you have already completed 60 years in shipping. Wish you another 60 to come. Thank you.
I have to say, only somebody like Mr. Prokopiou, who has really such a lifetime bond with Mr. Martinos, could give us this amazing insight. And also Yorgos Fustanos. Yorgo, please come.
Guests and friends, I'm afraid my own address will be shorter than my very good friends with all the nice words they told about me. Many thanks to Nick and Olga Bornozis and Capital Link for the great honor of the Greek Shipping Leadership Award. I thank my old friends George Fustanos and George Prokopiou for their kind words. With George Fustanos, we share a passion for maritime history. With George Prokopiou, we share some 55 years of friendship and our passion for shipping and our families. With George Prokopiou, we have a common origin, our neighborhood in seaside Glyfada, which is the reason why we and our brothers became shipowners. Sometimes we say that there are the Chios, the Andros, the Cephalonia origin ship owners. We are the Glyfada ship owners. And As we were born literally by the sea, on the sea, our houses were on the sea, and as children, we watched the ships sailing to and from Piraeus. For the Martinos brothers, our mother Athena was instrumental and inspirational in our careers as shipowners. She once said in an interview that shipping is in the DNA of Greeks and that we have sea water circulating in our blood veins. In recent, now coming to the shipping business itself, in recent times, there is a lot of enthusiasm about the applications of artificial intelligence. There are surely great benefits in applying artificial intelligence on new ships and machinery designs, in the safety of navigation, in computer logistics, container logistics, to name a few. Could we apply artificial intelligence to design suitable models to forecast freight markets for Trump trading vessels, tankers and dry bulk? In the last 5 years, we have experienced extraordinary events which could have proven any reasonable prediction wrong. The COVID pandemic upset the world economy, including shipping. Especially the tanker and the dry bulk markets collapsed for a short period, whereas the container market benefited from the world demand for house appliances during COVID, during the lockdowns especially. In tankers, the rates had risen briefly when all oil prices collapsed and it was encouraged to store oil on ships, but then the demand for gasoline and aviation fuel was reduced and the rates dropped due to the extended lockdowns. Especially the Chinese economy, the best clients for Greek shipping, deteriorated due to the extended lockdowns. There has been a modest recovery in shipping markets when things normalized. And then soon thereafter, we had Putin's invasion of Ukraine and a devastating war between two European countries. The war has already lasted 3 years. The energy crisis damaged the European economies, especially Germany, due to the higher cost of gas. Higher inflation resulted in higher interest rates, affecting poorer developing countries. These are part of the reasons for which we now experience a poorer dry bulk market. Tanker market benefited from the Ukrainian crisis due to the increased ton miles for crude oil and products. Before the war, Europe was importing Russian crude and diesel from nearby Baltic and the Black Sea. After the sanctions, Russia had to sell crude to India and China, and Europe had to import refined products like diesel from Indian refineries. After all, they were re-importing the same Russian oil, but over much longer distances, which were very good for tanker shipping. Who benefited from this? The USA and the major oil companies and traders, and in general oil producing countries, including Russia, benefited from the higher oil prices. Without the sanctions, undoubtedly, crude oil would be much cheaper today, a benefit to world consumers. Enter the Houthis in the equation as a result of the Israelis' war versus Hamas. Please. A group of bandits, however intelligent and well-armed, because the Yemenis are intelligent people, cut the Red Sea traffic, further increasing ton miles for tankers and containers. LR2 tankers and containers were the main beneficiaries. Due to the Houthis' actions, the losers were the poorer developing countries who had to pay higher transportation costs for their imports. In a way, the Houthi Robin Hoods damaged the poor people they meant to protect and enriched the Western shipowners. This was the result of their actions. As a company, we EastMed received a very nice, polite letter from the Houthis that if we were trading to and from Israel, we better not pass again the Red Sea. Which we decided not to pass, but we did not succumb to the blackmail and stop fixing via Red Sea. But we had already 7 bulk ships previously committed, which had to pass. And 6 out of the 7 ships were attacked by the Houthis. Our Filipino captains and crews were very brave and loyal. The Houthis' attacks by guided boats and manned boats and missiles were unsuccessful due to evasive maneuvering, careful night navigation, and also the armed guards we had on board, they were able to disarm these unmanned boats as they were shooting on the sensors of these boats. And then, of course, we had made an agreement with our Filipino crew not to pass again. Presently, we have to navigate through President Trump's daily decrees and statements for actual and threatened tariffs. His tariffs on Mexican and Canadian oil have presently are benefiting product tanker transatlantic trades, as the U.S. are not importing from Canada through pipelines, but they buy gasoline and diesel and so on from Europe. So short is good for us. However, tariffs on Chinese goods will be negative for container freight rates and car carriers. We already see container freight rates dropping. The Greek merchant fleet can be described as a reserve fleet serving the world and specific countries in times of need. The Napoleonic Wars in the late 18th century, to go the past history for the Spetz and Hydriot shipowners who made a lot of money during the Napoleonic Wars. Then, after a while, there were no more freight rates, so they engaged their ships in the war for Greek independence. If the freight market was good, perhaps they wouldn't be involved in the war of independence. No, this is a true history, it's not a joke. Then we had, of course, during the recent shipping times, the First Second World War, where the Greek fleets were very present, the Korean War in 1950, Suez Canal crisis in 1956, and more recently the Iranian Revolution in 1979, the Iraq invasion of Kuwait in 1992. Then we had the boom years, which was the golden age for Greek shipping, due to the Chinese meteoric growth and import needs from 2003 to 2008, which was the best time I have experienced shipping in my life, and at least it was a peaceful time. Between 2008 and 2019, we had quiet times and not so good freight rates. As described above, the recent 5 years were rather tumultuous, to say the least. What is certain in my mind, at least, is artificial intelligence cannot predict the adventure of Greek shipowners. Thank you very much.
Nancy, thank you very much. It's been a great privilege to have the opportunity to recognize you. Thank you to everybody for joining us at this momentous lunch and occasion. And we can all, I hope you will all come back into the conference room where we have, we're starting actually our afternoon sessions with a round table with the IMO representative, Dorota, who is the head of communications and legal services of the IMO, and Fotini Ioannidou, who is the head of the European Commission. So I hope that you will join us for this great session that will be followed by a debate, a discussion of the heads of the major industry associations. Thank you. Please join us.
We thank you for your support. Please let's go back to the next room to continue the conference.